we're going to conform to, if you will, whom we're going to follow. And those choices are going to make all of the difference in our lives here and in our lives for all eternity. Conformity is really human nature in a lot of ways. The decades of the 1960s and the 1970s were all about not conforming. If you were raised in that generation, that time period, as I was, you know that every young person strove to be unique, and they wound up being just like every other young person. I'll never forget in the fifth grade, the coolest kid in the class, the first time he wore bell bottoms to school. Oh, that was just so different. It was so unique. He was just so cool. By the end of the month, every kid in school had bell bottoms. Even me had bell bottoms. So we were all like everybody else. We were so nonconformist. You know, we were exactly like each other. I like the phrase, you know, you are unique, just like everybody else. You're unique just like everybody else. There's a lot of truth to that. We don't like to admit that we are followers, that we're conformists. And in some generations, as I said, it's been unpopular to think that. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells a story about a young woman who was applying for college. She was filling out her application, and she came across this question, are you a leader? And she thought about herself, and she realized that she really needed to try to answer this honestly. She didn't want to put the honest answer, but she did. And the honest answer for her was, no, I'm not a leader. So she finished the application. She folded it up, mailed it in, not expecting to be accepted to this college. But in the course of time, she got a letter of acceptance. She was accepted to enter this particular college. And the letter of acceptance read like this: Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that we have at least one follower. Everybody's a leader. Everybody is going to be that special person. But really, most of us are not leaders. And all of us, in some way or another, are truly followers. Jesus, in John chapter 10, is implying that about us, as well as a number of other passages in Scripture that call us sheep. Sheep are the ultimate in followers. I mean, they follow even when there's no reason to follow. They just follow to be following. I've told this story before, but I've heard that you can take a flock of sheep and you can hold a bar up like about this high, a stick or something like that. And if you can get one sheep to jump over that stick, the rest of the flock will follow and they'll all jump over the stick. But the weird thing is, you can take the stick away and all of the sheep will still come up to that same spot and jump just because all of the sheep in front of them did. They're the ultimate in conformists. Both Old Testament and New Testament refer to the people of God as sheep. Sheep are truly conforming. They follow. They follow each other if there's nobody else to follow. The reality is that when people are free to do as they please, to make their own choices, they usually imitate each other. So we're a lot alike. We have a lot of the same thoughts. We do a lot of the same things. I imagine that yesterday, there are a lot of people in this room that took note of a football game in one way or another. Why is that? Well, that's what you do if you live in the South. We drive cars that are actually very similar to each other. We live in houses, dress in clothes, express ourselves, all in very similar ways. when it comes to our spiritual lives, it takes effort, though, to avoid being conformed to this world, because that is sort of our natural inclination. I invite you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and look with me at verses 1 through 3 of that text. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to these people who have become Christians, who are no longer like the world. They have been changed. They have been transformed. But notice how he describes that process that they'd undergone. He says, "You he made alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, I don't know if you see what I see in this passage, but I see a lot of conformity being talked about. That before the Ephesians became Christians and before we became Christians, we were walking the same road that everybody else was walking. He talks about the course of this world. That's what everybody does. Just walks the course of this world, following people whom he calls the sons of disobedience, not obeying God, not living lives in accordance with the will of God. And he says, we all conducted ourselves. You see this groupthink, this flock mentality that he's describing here? Everybody in the world is just like everybody else in the world. They're all dead in their sins, all disobeying God. We were, he says, by nature children of wrath, in other words, children who deserved the wrath of God, just as the others, just like everybody else. So I see in this passage that before the Ephesians became Christians, they were conforming to this world, just like we were before we became Christians. It requires attention and effort to overcome this natural tendency. So the Apostle Paul will write to Christians in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 and say, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Christians must go through this transformation process. They must not allow themselves to just be like everybody else is. You know what the difference is between a thermostat and a thermometer? You know what the difference is, right? Thermometer's just the temperature of its surroundings. A thermostat may tell you the temperature of its surroundings, but it's designed to change the temperature. Christians aren't thermometers. We're thermostats. We're designed to change what's going on around us, not to be just like it. We're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Apostle Peter says something similar in his first epistle when he writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Don't be what you were before. Don't be like what you were before. Don't be like everybody else, but become like obedient children. The Israelites in the Old Testament serve as a wonderful example of how children of God should not act, how children of God should not conform. They failed to resist conforming to the world. I'm going to read two or three passages here, and I want you to see the progression in their history. You can start out in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Here's Moses speaking to the children of Israel. You remember how this is on the plains of Moab, just before they enter the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years or so, and now Moses is delivering this series of speeches to the children of Israel to get them ready to enter the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 29, He says, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You see what Moses is telling them? He said, you're going to go in and conquer this land. There are going to be people there who are idolaters. Don't be like them. Don't even bother to find out about their gods, their false religions. Don't do likewise. What's that mean? Don't conform to these people in Canaan that you're going to conquer. Did they listen to that warning? Well, no. Anybody that understands much at all about Old Testament history knows that they decidedly did not listen to what Moses told them on this occasion. And so we fast forward up to 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 15. When they'd been going down this road of conforming to the nations round about them for such a long time that God got tired of it. And the text there in 2 Kings 17:15 says, they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed idols and they became idolaters, and they went after the nations who were all around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Don't be like the people around you. And they just went ahead and did exactly what he said not to do. This is a cautionary tale on steroids. This is a warning for the people of God for all time. Don't conform to the world. Don't conform to the world in your morality. Don't conform to the world in your spirituality, in doctrine, in worship. Don't conform to the world. They not only became idolaters, the Israelites, they not only became like everybody around them, they became like the idols. You say, well, that's a strange statement. How can a person become like an idol? Well, that's what's said about them in Psalm 135 and verse 14 starting. The psalmist there says that the Lord will judge his people and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. You know what the psalmist is saying? These people followed false religion. They followed these idols. The idols couldn't speak. The idols couldn't see. The idols couldn't hear. The idols didn't have any real life in them. And the people didn't either. They couldn't hear truth from God. They couldn't see reality going on around them. They couldn't speak what was right. As I look at the world in which we live, it is deaf to truth, to the truth of God's word. It is blind to its spiritual depravity. And it will not stand up and speak what is right. That's the world around us. A world in which the phrase politically correct is code for don't speak the truth. You want to be like them? That's what happened to Israel. That's exactly where they went. I want to tell you what, if you're here this morning, you probably have an interest in spiritual things. You probably have some inclination in your heart that you want to serve God, that you'd like to be a good person at least. That's not going to happen by being like everybody else in the world. And it's not going to happen by coming here, pretending to be a good person, pretending to be a child of God, and living like the world the rest of the time. You know what Jesus said about hypocrites? Jesus said a lot of things about hypocrites. But one of the things he said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 is, don't be like them. Don't conform to hypocrites. Now, I know. There are hypocrites in the church. I don't know who all they are. If I knew specifically who they were, I'd go talk to them about it. Hypocrites are good about hiding their hypocrisy. There are hypocrites in the church, and I know that there are people in the world who aren't interested in the Lord's church because they say, well, I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to be a part of that group because they're hypocrites in the church. And my thought there is, well, you can come to church and be with some of the hypocrites, or you can not come to church and die and go to hell and be with all the hypocrites, you know, whichever, you can choose your poison there. Because none of the hypocrites are going to heaven. Let's look around, see what's really going on in this world, and who we really want to be like. I didn't experience this as a boy, but I know a lot of you here probably did. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, some of the older guys around, but I imagine there'll be several who could remember hog killing day. Remember hog killing day? They'd go out and they'd have this, you know, pen of fatted hogs, usually just a little bit later in the year than this. It'd be a nice cold day, and they'd go out and start slaughtering the hogs. And they'd go down to the pen, maybe knock one in the head with an axe. It'd squeal and fall over dead. You'd stick it in the heart to bleed it and drag it off, you know, to dress it out. The other hogs in the pen, my understanding is, would basically usually take no notice of that. They just go on their way. They weren't even disgruntled. They still had their grunt, you know. They just would go on like nothing happened. And you'd go down and get the next hog, kill it the same way. They just look at it and stand over in the corner of the pen like nothing happened. And that would go on all the way down to the very last hog. Don't we see what's happening to people in the world around us? How their lives are being ruined by worldliness. How they're one by one being taken into the clutches of Satan. And the horrific results of sin in their lives over and over and over again. We want to be like them. Suppose you knew of a hospital that was quarantined because of this dread disease that was there. Everybody that went in there died within, you know, 24 hours. Now, you're not a medical worker. You're not, you know, you have nothing to offer. There's no way you could help anybody in there. Would you willingly go in there? Would you want to be like them? Why then do we want to be like the world? We see the things that the world focuses on, you know, materialism, wealth, sexual immorality, alcohol. It's basically all the stuff you see on the commercials on TV every day. What the world has to offer. For the Christian, we want to conform. but we don't want to conform to the world. What we need to do, and what we're designed to do by God, is to conform to His Son. See, the God of heaven wants to bring a lot of children to glory with Him, to be in heaven with Him, who look exactly like His only begotten Son. We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There's where conformity comes in. And that's whom we must choose to conform to. Christ is our ultimate example. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says about Jesus Christ that He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. And the passage states that He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. You want to conform. Your whole mission in life is to conform to Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. To be like Him now, here, so you can be with Him there forever. That's the purpose of being. In Revelation 14, there's this wonderful vision. There's a lot of wonderful visions in Revelation. And you understand when you study Revelation that there's a lot of symbolic language used, a lot of imagery that represents something else, really all through the book. What you see in Revelation 14 is a description of the victory that people had who were Christians in the first century, the victory that they had over their persecution. And even though their lives may have been taken and some of them became martyrs, still, eventually, they wind up before the throne of God. And they're praising God for the victory that they had gained through Him. In Revelation 14 and verse 4, you have this picture of them. And it says that these are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Obviously, that's symbolic of their purity. That's not a literal description, but it's symbolic of their purity. But notice something else it says about them. These are the ones who follow the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Who's that symbolized? Jesus. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Mary had a little lamb that followed her to school one day, you know. God gave us a lamb that He wants us to follow to heaven. To become, as we sing sometimes in a song, to become a Lamb of God. This is our image that we are to conform to. And I want to take the last few minutes of our time this morning just to help us realize that that image of Christ, that leadership of Christ that we are to pattern our lives after, is certainly revealed to us in the New Testament. But it's also revealed to us and shown to us in 1,000 different ways by others who are following Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." We conform to people like Paul because Paul was conforming to Jesus Christ. There are people in this room, several of them, lots of them, who you would do well to notice the way that they live, the activities they engage in, the way they conduct themselves, the way they interact with others. Most everybody here I know, members certainly at Eastside. As far as I know, we all have good qualities, Christ-like qualities. Most all of us, though, have areas where we're not as Christ-like as we ought to be. You know what we need to do? Work on that. And one way we can work on it is by looking at someone who's, you know, they're doing a good job in that area, and maybe I'm not doing such a good job in that area. I could learn something from them. I could learn how to be more Christ-like by conforming to what they're doing. It's one of the reasons God gave us each other. We need to note those around us who are worthy of imitation and strive to be like them. Listen to two or three verses here just quickly. Paul will say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." You look at other people who are walking this way, who are following the Lamb, you note them and you follow them. You strive to be like them if they're walking in the way that's right. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 7, he says, "You yourselves know how you ought to follow us. We were not disorderly among you," he says. Hebrews 13 and verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who've spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." There are those sitting around you in this room who can help you become more Christ-like. If you're willing to change what you are and conform yourself to what they are, it takes a little humility. It takes some determination. It's not going to happen by osmosis. You're not going to become like, you know, the person sitting behind you just because they're sitting close to you. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to determine. So as we close this morning, please turn in your Bibles to 3 John. And let me read verses 9 through 12. 3 John verse 9. John says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true." There were two men in this church. One's name was Diotrephes. He was a bully. He was arrogant. He had to have his own way about everything. He mistreated people. There's another man, Demetrius. They were both in this church that John is writing to way back then. Which one are you going to be like? Right in the middle of talking about this, what John says is, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." There's your choice. Find somebody who's doing good and be like them in that area. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. You got a choice to make. You're going to conform. You'll conform to somebody somehow. It's our nature as human beings. But you can choose. You can choose who you're going to be like. And that choice will make all the difference in eternity. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. Zion's Call. We're called to heaven itself. We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to be like him. And if there's somebody here today who would make that commitment to say, "I want to conform to the image of the Son of God. I want to be like him. I don't want to be like the world anymore. I'm tired of that. I want to be saved from my sins and be like Jesus." You can do that. You can do that. If there's someone here today who would say, "I'm turning away from this life of sin. I believe in Jesus as my Savior, the Son of God. I'm ready to be baptized in water for the remission of my sins." You can walk in newness of life and live a Christ-like life on earth. We'd invite you to do that while together we stand and while we sing.